Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
You mean I can get this thing going? Okay, let's do it then. It's the Growing in Grace podcast, growingingrace.org. My name is Joel Brzezinski, along with me, Mike Kapler, as we always get together and do this thing every single week at growingingrace.org, and we've been happy to do it for such a long time, but it's been good. Recently heard from some people who have been listening for a long time and have listened. I'm still surprised that there are still people, even though we're well into the 900s, that people have gone back to the beginning and listened all the way through. I think, you know, if we were to tell somebody where to go as far as, you know, listening to, I wouldn't necessarily tell somebody to go back to the beginning, but maybe the last, if you want to, because as a podcast listener myself, I find that I just don't have time to go back and listen to stuff that, from older things that people have done, except maybe the Grace Cafe podcast. I'll listen to those, and on Sunday with Mike Adams. So Mike Adams and his wife Sue, I'll listen to them, some of their old things, and I just love listening to them. But yeah, maybe go back to the last 100 or two, and I think we've, you know, just got enough good stuff there. A couple comments that came in. I think this one started off with the Greek. Holy moly! This episode, and then a mind blown emoji and a face with hearts on it. This was our episode a few weeks ago. Thou shalt read your Bible and like it. Anyway, she says, so much freedom here. I think this episode, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit, just changed my life. So I love hearing stuff like that. And well, there was another one. Oh, yeah. Somebody says, always enlightening. I love these guys. Exclamation point. So thanks for your comments. Those were on Spotify, by the way. And I've said that a few weeks ago. I'm still haven't figured out how to respond to comments on Spotify. Maybe one day I will learn how to do that. But thank you for your comments, whether they come in on Spotify, YouTube, through email, or however you respond to us or comment on us. We love hearing from you.
Yes, absolutely. It encourages us. It really does. And again, we're just here to provide a perspective. Hopefully it will help you in your walk with God. We're not here very long, right? We're here for a few decades or so, and then we move on, and some others are going to take our place. Eternity, it's a difficult thing for us finite people to grasp, I think, Joel. Mm-hmm. But let's make the most of it while we're here, right?
Yeah, you know, this isn't where we're going today, but I had been thinking about that the other day. And somebody had commented on my Facebook that on some of my posts, I used to get dozens or hundreds of likes and comments, and now they're only seeing fewer than they used to say. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I said, for one thing, these days, there are a lot more people that are talking about grace and the love of God, and it's not about me, it's not about our podcast, it's, you know, the fact that this stuff is getting shared out there, that's all right. And we, like you said, we're going to be gone someday. The people who were teaching the gospel 100 years ago, they're gone. But the gospel remains. Christ remains. And that's what matters. And you know, God does what he does. You know, Jesus said he would build his ecclesia, and he's doing it. And it's so wonderful to be a part of that. But just to know that we're not, like you said, we're not here forever. Others are going to take over. Others are going to, and it's not a popularity contest. It really doesn't matter. There are so many things that don't matter, but the gospel matters and Jesus Christ matters. And so just to be a part of being able to share that at this time in the history of mankind, I just think it's so awesome. So anyway, didn't mean to go off on that, but something you said sparked that in me.
Hey, let's talk about a guy named Abe. Abraham. Abram.
Abraham. Abram. Father
both,
Abraham.
Well, we were talking about James in recent weeks and some of the things that he said, but he brought up Abraham, and we touched on that a little bit, how he said a particular thing about Abraham and how Paul said something else. But let's focus on what Paul said about Abraham and the promise that was made and a covenant that was set up. Especially, I think, the passages that would probably stick out to me the most, Joel, just for your reference purposes, Romans 4 and Galatians 3, probably. We could bring up Hebrews 7 that relates to this a little bit, but let's have a discussion about what some of this means. And let's see, Galatians 3. Oh, you foolish Galatians, Paul said to start out chapter 3. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Well, we just got done. This completely contrasts what James said, right? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Therefore, in verse 5, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, period. Although he goes on from there, I thought I would throw that period in there because the point he was making is Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness because of that.
Right, and there was nothing added to it. It was just that he believed God, and that was accounted to him as righteousness. No law, no works, right?
Yep. Your turn.
Oh. Okay. Well, let's continue reading in Galatians 3. But no, it's and that's the beauty of the gospel, you know, that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, Paul is trying to help these Galatian people understand that there is nothing added to their faith. There are no works to be added to their faith because what had happened, as you probably know, in the first couple of chapters of Galatians, we find out that some people had come in. You know, these people, as Paul said, they began in the Spirit. So, and I like he kind of equates beginning in the Spirit with by faith. So that's opposite of works. But some people had come in and tried to say, yes, you need to have faith, but you also need to keep the works of the law. This was going on. This was the reality in those early years of the church, that people were believing, and I think they were genuine believers. They genuinely believed in Jesus. And there were some people, I think, there were Judaizers and people who didn't have the best of motives. But I think there were a lot of people who really did believe that they needed faith in Christ plus the works of the law. But either
well,
way,
Joel,
people...
But Joel, don't you think that many of us today, after all these centuries, have been going through some of the very same things in a different sort of way, in a different culture, but we've gone through some of the very same things that these people were going through? How many of us came to believe in Christ, felt free and relieved and at peace and just lighter and more alive, however you want to try to describe it? And then somebody comes along and starts telling you about all the stuff you need to do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what it was like for me. I know that, you know, I felt like, I think I described it way back then, that I felt like I had a halo over my head. Not like I was extra more righteous than anybody, but it just felt, it was a freeing type of a, it's like a, wow, I mean, this is just so awesome, such a wonderful feeling. And then that started going away when people started telling me all the things I had to do. Not just that you are free to do things, not that you're free to serve and help other people, but that these are required of you. You know, that's that feeling started to go away when it became a requirement. And Paul is telling these people that that requirement that these others are adding of works of law, that's not right. That's not true. Look here. Abraham believed God. It says, you know, Paul was quoting from Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Nothing else was added to that in Genesis 15:6. None of the works of Abraham were added to make him righteous, to make anything to be accounted to him as righteousness. It was simply Abraham believed God. And so the writer says, therefore, so that's what Paul is trying to help these people to understand, that it's that simple. It really is that simple. Therefore, verse 7 in Galatians 3, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And this is key to me in understanding all of Galatians 3 here. And verse 8, and the scripture, so what had been written beforehand, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. The reason that sticks out to me is because later in the chapter, we won't necessarily get into this, but when it says later on, in verse 22, but the scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. I believe that goes back to verse 8. The scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. See, that's in Abraham's time, God made a promise. He made an oath. He made a covenant with Abraham. And what was going to happen was that in Abraham, all nations shall be blessed. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. That's the faith that was going to come. Before faith came, verse 23, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. I think a lot of people today think that that's individual faith of people that would be revealed, but it's actually this promise of justification by faith that would be revealed so that people could be justified by faith. Anyway, I could go off on all that, but I think to stick with what we're saying here is that it's so simple. There are no works to be added to faith. It's simply believing in Christ and no works of the law, no works necessary, and you're justified. You are sanctified. You are cleansed. You are free in him by that, with no works added.
Yeah, and Paul continues here, for as many as are of the works of the law, the Mosaic law, are under the curse. What's the curse? Well, it says it right in there. He says, it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law, and to do them. But that no one is justified by the law of works. I'm adding that in there, by the law mm-hmm. is a law of works, right? So,
right.
But that no one is, just to make the point here, but that no one is justified by the law, which was a law of works, in the sight of God, is evident, for the just shall live by faith. See the contrast between law and faith, works and faith? I had a pastor years ago in my early grace days explain to me that really the opposite of law is faith. The opposite of fear is love. Little side note there, no extra charge. Yet the law is not of faith. So here we go. You mentioned verse 8 was sort of a key to opening up this chapter and understanding it. Verse 12 is sort of a follow-up to that.
Oh, definitely.
That no one is justified by the law, and the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law, all those commandments on the stone tablets, all 613 of them, the law is not of faith. As some translations might say, not based on faith, because the man who does them needs to live by them, all of them. It was a curse. And in verse 13, we see where Christ has redeemed us Jews who are under the law, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, here he is again, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon not only the Jews, but the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Paul is tying all of this together so that these Gentile people to whom he is writing to can begin to get it, can begin to wrap their minds around it. It's maybe a little more difficult for some of us Gentiles today to look back on these ancient writings and really begin to get it. We can, but sometimes we just have to understand the context of the gospel a little bit, as we talk a lot about around here on the podcast. Understanding the context of the gospel will help us interpret many of these things.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that is helpful too is something that you brought out there, and in case a person didn't quite understand what you said there, when you said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and you said us Jews, you're not saying that we are Jews, but you were saying that Paul is referring to himself at the time. Christ has redeemed us, the people of Israel, the Jews, at that time, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And I think it's important to understand that, because Paul is not saying that we Gentiles have been redeemed from the curse of the law, because the law was never ours in the first place. It was the Jews. It was their Jewish law, and it became a curse for them, and then Christ redeemed them from the curse of the law. We've talked about this in the past a little bit when we tie this in with Ephesians 2 and how that law was broken down, and because of that, the Jewish law being broken down, then Gentiles and Jews could come together in this one new man. And we'll probably talk about that again, I'm sure. But I think, like you said, this verse 12, it really is key here. Because Paul could have said, if Paul would have gone along, and I see we should probably wrap up here, if Paul would have gone along with the thinking of a lot of people in the early church, like these people who were coming in and telling these Galatian people that they needed to believe in Christ plus keep the works of the law.
People who are sent by James, you mean?
Yeah, the people, exactly. And that's what that's what Paul said here in the previous chapter, in chapter 2. If Paul would have gone along with that thinking, then what he would have said here is Galatians 3:11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live. Or he wouldn't have said that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. Now he goes, the just shall live by faith. And instead of saying, yet the law is not of faith, Paul would have said, the just shall live by faith plus keeping the works of the law. If Paul would have gone along with what those people were believing. But Paul is contrasting that. He's trying to help these people to understand that's not it. It's not faith plus the law. He says the law is not of faith. That is, yes, that is big if people can understand that. The law is not based on faith. The law is not of faith. If you're going to live by the law, you have to live by the law. And that's going to be what you do. You're going to live by them. But Christ redeemed them from all of that, so that, and then we'll wrap up with this, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, verse 14, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so there's more to get here.
If I can just jump in here before you wrap this up.
Right on.
I mean, I made the comment that these men were sent by James. They actually came from James, the Bible says in the previous chapter. But the point is still being made. But I think just to emphasize the point you're trying to make, when Paul, and this happens in different letters, when Paul says he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, he wasn't referring to the people he was writing to who were Gentiles. It was to us Jews, and you people have no business messing with it.
Right. That is a big theme in chapter 3 here. And maybe we'll get into some of that. And like you said, some things from Romans 4. It's very crucial, I think, that we understand some of this stuff so that we have a better understanding of the gospel, and that it's by faith and not by works.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.